Information is getting out there more.
Dr. Julia Hare.
Because we live in a racist society, and you can get arrested, black boys, for walking while black, thinking while black, driving while black, at anything you're doing while black.
Dick Gregory.
I can go and tell you why this program you have is so beautiful. That one, truth don't never have to be validated by ignorance.
Exactly.
But ignorance will never validate truth.
This is It's Bigger Than Hip Hop Radio. Tune in every Friday from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern on WWWEAM 1100 on iHeartRadio.
We here now.
1100Atlanta.com.
And so again, I said, you know, what you're doing is very important. And a lot of times when you do shows like this, you must have people listen. Get a tape recorder or make the tape available.
Hit us up on the hotline at 404-603-8770.
And now,
Jeff Hodges.
Another edition to It's Bigger Than Hip Hop. It's your boy Jeff Hodges. You know, we had those high, infinite, healing our people, power type conversations. And tonight will be no different. You know, I'm excited about tonight's segment as we enter into a little realm of talking about some relationships. And who better to do it than an author who has 25 years experience in being in one. Tonight, my guest is a veteran actor, director, best known for playing in two of Tyler Perry films, Daddy's Little Girls and Diary of a Mad Black Woman. He joins us tonight to discuss his recently released book, Why He Won't Marry You, and How to Change the Dynamics. Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome to the show, Gary Anthony Sturgis.
What it do? What it do?
What's good, fam? What's good?
Hey, brother, thank you for having me on. I appreciate the app.
No doubt. No doubt. We definitely dig what you're doing. As always, we staying up the breast and seeing how you're coming off and doing your thing. So, you know, we wanted to sit down with you. Having those 60 film credits and over 10 director credits and over 10 writing credits, you know, you've been a busy dude, so we want to see what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. Well, I got something hot for the ladies. You know, I've been working on this project for about 2 years now. It's a book called Hashtag Why He Won't Marry You and How You Can Change That Dynamic. I wanted to help women to better understand, you know, the dynamic of man and how man thinks versus how woman thinks, because in relationships, you know, there's always that divide of seeing things from another person's point of view, and some people aren't very good at it.
Right.
And I hear a lot of, you know, women say, well, hey, you know, I've been in this relationship for 7 years and I did everything for this guy and he left me and married some other chick in like a year. What's up with that? Well, you think you did everything for that guy. Clearly you didn't do everything for that guy that you was thinking. So a lot of the book is about, perception versus reality. You know, there's a perception of what we're putting out in the world, and then there's what's being received by the other person, and it's not always the same thing. So I think there's a disconnect, and that's one of the reasons why I chose to write a book about it, because I wanted women to understand how men are seeing the same scenarios when they're making a decision to get married.
Mm. Did you have a particular age range you was, like, targeting when you wrote this book?
No, actually, when I wrote it, it didn't target any particular age range, race, because I got that question before, too. It's like, well, is it geared towards black folks? Is it geared towards men and women?
Right.
Because relationship dynamics are pretty much the same no matter what race you are, no matter what religion you are. You know, love is love, hate is hate, anger is anger. These things are pretty universal. So I wrote it more from a perspective of how men, you know, have to come to the decision of taking a knee and saying, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And what women needed to understand when I wrote the book was you have a lot to do with that decision. You know, it's a lot of women waiting for that day to come or wondering why it's taking this guy so long. It's something going on that you need to do to make him see you as the person that he wants to spend the rest of his life with. Women know a lot quicker than guys do that they're sure of something. It takes guys a little bit longer to be sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, women have to learn how to hang in there sometime and not let the biological clock of their lives put pressure on guys, because that kind of runs guys off. And those are the kind of things I talk about in the book. You know, things that you might be doing that's sort of making him gun shy and making him a little nervous about taking that knee because he's looking at the rest of his life.
Right.
You know, being in this situation. We natural hunters. You know, we like chucking spears at stuff. And you're basically saying, I'm going to chuck my spear at you and never chuck my spear again. It's like eating steak every day, all day, 3 times a day, 7 days a week. Steak is wonderful.
Right.
But I think everybody would like to have, you know, some filet mignon. I mean, filet mignon one day and then turn around and have some chicken the next day, some jambalaya, maybe some red beans and rice, but I still want my steak.
Indeed.
And that's kind of the way men see these long-term relationships, and women see it a lot different. And that's what I talk about in the book, you know, things about how we got here, because it goes really far back as childhood because of the way we're raised. And that's one of the biggest parts of the book that people have been stuck to is the first chapter about how basically girls are raised with baby dolls and mm-hmm. learn life skills all the way up to Barbie, where they got this Barbie doll that teaches them, hey, I could have a dream home and a dope man, you have a Ken and a car and all these things. Well, boys don't get that same doctrine. You know, we're sitting there playing with G.I. Joes that, you know, even the female one looks just like the guy one as far as muscles go. You know, so there's no sexual relationship.
Right.
There's no life goals here. So we're learning two different things. So by the time we grow up, you know, women have one expectation and guys have another. So maybe we need to teach our kids that to teach the boys the same expectations that the girls have, and things might work out a little bit better in the long run.
Now, if you could describe Why He Won't Marry You in 3 words, how would you describe it?
self-reflection, a book of self-reflection. I can't use three. I'd have to use a couple. Okay. It would be a book of self-reflection, because what the book is about more than anything is taking a look at yourself and asking yourself what you can do to better the situation, because it's always a finger-pointing thing in relationships. You know, we all have to be accountable for our own behavior, not somebody else's. So the book is more about self-reflecting and holding yourself accountable for what you're responsible for. Like, mm-hmm. you can't say, oh, I date this one type of guy, and he's really abusive, and I've dated seven of these dudes, and they've all done the same thing. Well, what did these guys have in common? You're the common denominator. Exactly. They didn't have a powwow or a meeting and say, hey, I'm going to abuse her this way, you're going to abuse her that way. It's you. Right. So sometimes we have to look inside ourselves. Like, women say, I want a good man, but you keep attracting a bad man. Mm-hmm. Is it you or them? You can say no. You have the right to say, no, that's not me, I'm going to pass on that. But you take this bad man and try to mold him into Superman, and that's not who he's meant to be. And sometimes women just have to accept that, you know, some relationships are just going to be experiences, and some relationships are going to be for a lifetime. Every dude you date is not going to be your husband.
Exactly. Now, I love social media. It gives you the opportunity to reach so many people from so many different dynamics and perspectives. I put out there letting them know that you're going to be on the show. And I put the question, what exactly is husband and wifey material? So in your book, do you talk about, you know, the perspective of what one can look for when searching for that mate?
Yeah, actually, I talk about that quite a bit. And it goes just to what I was saying a minute ago. You know, you have to know what it is that you're looking for, and you have to be realistic about your expectations. Everybody wants to say, you know, I want to be swept off my feet. I want to be treated like a queen. But are you a queen? You know what I'm saying? Just because it sounds good don't mean that's what you're doing. In a kingdom, there's only one king and one queen. Everybody else is servants. You know, everybody can't be a king or a queen. So, you know, we have to be realistic. You know, I remember one time Boris Kojo once said, women need to take a minute and write down the five things that are most important to them in a man. You know, what are the five qualities that you're looking for in a man? And once you write those five qualities down, take a look in the mirror and ask yourself, what is it about you as a woman that deserves such a man?
Exactly.
Because I promise you, when they write these qualities down, they're writing qualities down about a fantasy human being, not a person that's real. We're all fallible people. We all make mistakes. We all have, you know, ups and downs. We're human beings. Mm-hmm. And nobody's perfect. But everybody's searching for this perfect mate. And when you don't find it in a man, suddenly you're mad at the man for failing in your expectations.
Now, you mentioned a moment ago about disconnect. There's so much of a disconnect when it comes to relationships and people seeking that mate. And like you just said, if you were to describe the things you want and then in comparison see if you matched, you know, it wouldn't happen. And the reality is something when it comes to marriage. A lot of women, from the perspective, like you said, because of our upbringing, they leave out the reality and they come in with the fantasy. And then when hard times and it gets real, then now they look at the man that they were differently. What advice do you give women in terms of that?
It's funny you mention that, because those are things I talk about in the book. It's like you have to be very realistic in expectations. You know, men are not projects. They're not children. You can't rebuild them. You can't remake them. You can't turn them into what you want to turn them into. You have to accept people for what they are and ask yourself, can I tolerate that? Because just as much as a relationship is about love, if you've been married, anybody that's listening to this that's been married for any period of time, you start to understand that it's not just love, it's also tolerance. You have to learn how to tolerate people's habits. You have to learn how to tolerate people's attitudes, people's bad days. It's not just about love. And when you listen to the vows of marriage, you know, everything has a caveat, you know, in sickness and in health, richer or poorer. So it tells you in the vows that there's a possibility that things are not going to always be perfect. And like you said, in the modern society that we live in, where everybody, you know, communicates through text instead of talking, you know, it's very easy for people to give up. If things aren't going the way that they want them to go, they're quick to give up. If you want to be married, the first thing you'll learn about marriage is it's a fight. And you got to constantly fight to stay married. Getting married is the beginning. Right. Once you're married, it becomes the challenge of staying married. Because I promise you, things are going to get in the way. People are going to die that's important to you, like your mother or father, right, a brother or sister. That's going to change how you feel about life. You know, you may lose that dope job that you had when you first got married. Mm-hmm. That's going to change how you feel about it, especially for a man. Right. Women have to understand, a man is built upon what he does. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, the men take pride in what they do. Right. So the minute that's taken away from them, that man's mood, that man's attitude changes. And now Can you deal with that man when you see him at his lowest point? See, a lot of people in modern times just want the fantasy wedding. They want the fantasy Kim Kardashian, oh, it was beautiful, we had white horses and all that, and we lived happily ever after. But happily ever after is a daily job.
Daily.
And people get into this and think, oh, I'm married, things are going to just work out because I'm married. Remember this above all else. Marriage is a legal contract. You're basically making an agreement to spend the rest of your life with somebody, share expenses, you know, medical bills, all of these types of things for the rest of your life. It's a legal contract. Now, when we do it, it's all under God. But when we get divorced, it's all under lawyers. You don't hear God's name at all at the divorce ceremony. Now, we was all, you know, this whole process, you know, was all under God, you know, but all of a sudden when the divorce comes, it's all lawyers. So people got to understand it's a business arrangement. So you have to find a mate that you can tolerate and love. It's not just about love, because love is a fickle thing. Love, you can love somebody today and hate them tomorrow. It's a very thin line.
Yo, they ain't make that song, movie title, all that.
Exactly.
That is a real statement. Now, you having over 25 years of marriage. Congratulations with your wife. I was originally going to say, did you? But in actuality, I know. How did you guys deal with those so-called deal-breaker moments and, you know, those times throughout the years?
Well, we've had them. Just like if you've been in a long-term relationship, you've definitely had them. Right. We've been married, actually, come September 9th, it will be 27 years. We've been together 33 years come the same date. We dated about 6 years before we got married. So I've been knowing this woman more than half of my life. In the book, I talk about, you know, to be fair, ladies, I didn't want to write a book that was judgmental or finger pointing. I can promise you it's not that. It's very encouraging because it tells you how you can change that dynamic. But even in my own relationship, I was fair enough in the book to admit that, you know, I had two very long term affairs during my marriage. And, you know, my marriage had to survive all that. Right. In modern times, you know, you hear these women on social media. The first thing they'll say is, oh, if he do this, I'm out. Oh, if he do that, I'm out. Well, yeah, there's probably a few things you could do that he'll be out on, too. But when you marry to somebody, you start to realize their fallibility, you realize their flaws, and you decide to either love them through them and get better with them, or you don't.
Right.
My relationship just happened to be strong enough that it was able to survive all that. You know, and I was like, it wasn't like a situation where I was just sleeping around. I was in a full-fledged relationship, in love and shit. So it wasn't some, you know, I'm not sitting up here like, oh, yeah, I'm some good guy that's trying to say, you know, this is the way you should live your life, like I'm walking around with a cross on me. It's not like that at all. I'm a human being, and I'm just telling you how mistakes can happen in relationships and how you could even survive those and get past those. Because the book even speaks on married people. You know, once you get the ring, how you keep the ring, because ultimately that's when the job starts. Everybody thinks, oh, yeah, married, it's all great. Let me give y'all awesome advice. Do not. I repeat, do not have some expensive wedding to impress a bunch of people that really don't care if you're married anyway, because 2 years later, 3 years later, when you're talking divorce, you're still going to be paying for the wedding.
Indeed.
Me and my wife got married twice. We got married in Vegas, which cost me about $125. Then my friends gave me a surprise wedding for my first anniversary, and we jumped the broom like African people. So I got married twice for $125, and I'm still married. So, you know, y'all can spend them thousands of dollars to impress everybody if you want. Ultimately, it's not about them. It's about you two. It's about your union, your starting, your building a life together, not about the people who you've built lives with that got you here. And sometimes we go out of our way to impress everybody else, and we end up with a bill that we're still paying for after the divorce, which is totally ridiculous to me. So be sure, ladies, if you want to be married, be sure that's what you want. And for the fellas out there, be sure that's what you want, because it's a commitment. And it's a commitment that comes with no check, no thanks. You know what I'm saying? It's just one of the things you got to decide you're going to do it or you're not. And I think in modern times, we have so many people that give up so fast when things don't work out, when the job is lost, or when a person's mood changes. You know, people give up, but that's not what a marriage is or what a relationship is. So get the fantasy marriage out your mind and start thinking of what it really is like to build with somebody with a different blood type.
You know, I saw this post, and it just made me think. You know, we take for granted the fact that, you know, in modern times we have such connectivity. But then thinking back in terms of our grandparents, when granddaddy left that house to go to work, she didn't hear from granddaddy the entire day until he got back home. One of the kids died or whatever, he had to find out when he got home. So I found that to be a real interesting perspective nowadays with all of this connectivity. And as you just described, if something goes wrong in a relationship, people are so quick to give up. Well, then with our parents, how they stood through the test of times, and love was real and love was love. So it's like, kudos to you for putting forth such a powerful book to inform the people, you know, with a multiple answers from a man's perspective. Did you, and my question would be, utilize your wife having somewhat of a perspective in helping you write this book?
Actually, she wasn't involved at all. It strictly came from a man's point of view. I had a few people ask me in the past, well, was it a joint effort? Or did she, you know, put in her input or her point of view? Not at all, because I wanted it to be a book that spoke to women from how men think. You know, and not how men think in an according sense of 1955, but in a modern sense of 2018.
Okay.
You know, in that same communication-based world that you're talking about, you know, chivalry is not necessarily dead. It just changed a bit. You know, it used to be a time where you walk over and open the car door for a lady. But, you know, all cars got electronic locks now, and people robbing folks. So we all hopping in at the same time, boo-boo. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, times have changed in that regard, and some of chivalry has died. But so is a lot of, you know, rights and things with women, too. You know, women used to stay at home and just be housewives. Now women have to work. You know, it's a double income society that we live in. So a lot of the social morals of what male and female was stereotypically in a relationship has sort of changed because women are forced to work and carry their own. So there's a lot of independent women out there too. Now let me speak to the independent women. We love you. For all the men out there, I speak for all the men. We love independent women. We love women that's out there getting it for themselves. But do not get it twisted. We do not like your independent woman attitude. We don't like that because you think you get it for yourself, you don't need a man. At the end of the day, we need you just as much as you need us. Work is just a job. It's what we do. It's not who we are.
Right.
So interactivity with human beings is essential to the soul. It's something that we both need. So we need to remember, even in independence, we still need love. Even in independence, we still need respect. And there's a lot of brothers out here who respect the hell out of women out here that's getting it for themselves. I'm one of them. You know, I love a woman that's a go-getter. I think that's a great thing.
Get it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go get it. I think it's we in a time where you can. So why don't you? You know, women are very smart. Go out and get it. I love to see all these women in politics and stuff now. That's great. Go out and get it.
That's right. Tell them where they can get that book, Why He Won't Marry You.
Okay, you can get it in two different places. You can get it on ebook and Kindle on Amazon.com. Make sure you put # Why He Won't Marry You, because there's other books with similar titles. Mine has a # before it. And you can also get an autographed copy on my website, which is www.whyhewon'tmarry.com. If you want an autographed copy, but ebook and Kindle, you can get it from Amazon. They even sell paperback there. And it's doing well. I mean, I got to go read the comments, ladies. If you guys don't believe me, go up to Amazon, read some of the comments. Women are loving the book. It's definitely not written from a judgmental standpoint or from a finger-pointing standpoint. It's just written from an open and loving standpoint of a man trying to get women to understand through their frustrations how some of the things that they're frustrated about might be some of their own doing. And some of the reasons why he might be running away might be some of their own doing. So I point out some interesting habits and things that women do that they think are cute that guys just can't stand but won't tell you.
Tell them real quick why, from a man's perspective, this advice is something they definitely want to take heed to.
Well, from a man's perspective, you want to take heed because ultimately you want to spend the rest of your life with a man. So wouldn't it behoove you to try to understand how a man thinks? Because we don't think like you. I tell women all the time, guys don't think like you. You whatever thought you run up on saying, oh, you probably did this. He probably did something, but it wasn't that. Because we don't think like you. So it's like, you know, I'm trying to help you to understand how we think so that you could have a better relationship with us. Because we totally get how you think. Like, I give you an example. A woman will tell you everything that you've done wrong to her, pinpointed down to the time, exactly what it was, what you was wearing when you did it.
All the dudes in the station are shaking their head.
About your problem,
all the dudes in the station are shaking their head.
What'd you say?
I said all the dudes are shaking their head when you just said that.
Right. Well, yeah, of course. But this is the truth. But check this out. In reverse. If you tell a woman, oh, I got this problem with you or that problem with you, she's going to generalize her problems and say, well, look, I know I got issues. Oh, no, let's pinpoint your issues.
Let's talk about it. Let's do
to your issues what you just did to my issues, because I can say I got issues and you will pinpoint what every one of those things are. So the book speaks to things like that where we, you know, people want to talk about things like fair. You know, well, this ain't fair and that ain't fair. We don't live in a fair society. Fair is not a watchword that we should look for in a relationship. Everything's not going to be fair. You're a woman. I'm a man.
Right.
I came from dirt. You came from my rib. We didn't even come from the same product. So there's never going to be fair.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We can do the same behavior and it's going to be labeled differently. I'll be called a dog for seeing a lot of women. You'll be called, you know, quite a few other interesting names that you don't like if you see a lot of men. Same scenario. Women like sex just as much as men do, but they can't be as promiscuous because we don't want to marry those women.
Right.
So that's kind of the kind of things we talk about in the book. At the end of the day, I want to see women win. I want to see them happy. And I want to see brothers, you know, be able to walk around with a little sense of pride knowing that there's somebody out there speaking to the voice of the man and how we feel about these relationships, because we love hard. We want to be in relationships as well. But just know, guys don't wake up out their sleep dreaming about their dream wedding. You know, I don't know not one guy that I've ever met in my life that said, man, I'm for my wedding, I'm going to wear such and such and such and such. And, you know, I'm going to have my dudes wearing such and such. Nobody does that. You know what I'm saying? We figure out at some point that we're with the right woman and we choose to marry her. But you have to present yourself as the right woman, and that's what the book is about.
Presentation is everything, no doubt. Give your best marriage advice in a sense in a two before we break up out of here.
Okay, well, my best marriage advice would be to listen. Women like to be heard, but a lot of times women don't like to listen. The very demands that you have in a relationship and wanting to be heard, he has as well. And my second piece of advice is save your gossip for your girlfriends and only talk about things of matter to your man, because he really don't like hearing all that. When he come home from work, you know, and kick off his shoes, he really don't want to hear about all the he say, she say stuff of the day. Guys don't really like that. That's what you got girlfriends for.
Indeed. Gary, it's definitely been an honor and a pleasure. Continued success to you, man. All the best.
I appreciate you, brother. But thank you. And it's one of my best Facebook friends here, so I got to give props out to you, because, you know, it shows you how social media works. Social media is how we met, so I appreciate the opportunity. And, you know, thank God for social media, because without it, guys like us wouldn't get a chance to meet to do things like this.
No doubt. And also, congratulations on your two business ventures, Cray Babies Creole and Southern Cuisine, and also the Bel Air Health and Rehabilitation. I heard you guys is hiring over there.
Oh, yeah. We got it going on. There's speech therapy, massage therapy, physical therapy, and occupational therapy. And we're about to open Cray Babies, which is a New Orleans Creole-based restaurant in California, because out here I can't find food that I like, so I had to bring some food out here that I could eat. So we're doing red beans, jambalaya, po' boy sandwiches, all the stuff that you get down south. Y'all know about that, Atlanta. You know, all that good stuff. We don't have that out here. Everything's Mexican. So I'm about to flip Cali on his face with this Cray-based thing.
There it is. Hey, man, continued success and all the best to you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate the opportunity. Go get my book, y'all. Hashtag Why He Won't Marry You and How You Can Change That Dynamic.
You heard it first. It's Bigger Than Hip Hop. We're going to take a quick commercial break. That was our very special guest, author, actor, director, Mr. himself, Gary Anthony Sturgis. We'll be right back.
Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Selena Johnson, and breakfast is over. It's dinner time now, baby. Every Friday, live on iHeartRadio, it's Bigger Than Hip Hop Radio.
What you talking about? Shake it.
What's up? This is Damian Crazy Legs Hall, co-owner of WWRN Radio. Keep us locked 24/7 and enjoy our classic hip-hop and R&B station. Don't touch that dial, baby.
Yo, it's your man Erg 7. Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. I got it locked right here with my man Jeff Hodges on iHeartRadio's It's Bigger Than Hip Hop.
Peace.
It's Bigger Than Hip Hop Radio presents A Moment in Hip Hop History with Mocha Brown. Black Thought, the founding member of the Philly phenomenon called The Roots, was born October 3rd of 71 in Philadelphia. Known for being the illest freestyler ever, Tariq Trotter, a.k.a. Black Thought, is the MC of the Philadelphia-based hip-hop group, The Roots. Decades after their biggest hit, You Got Me, hit the charts, The Roots have maintained a devoted following for over 20 years. Thought, who co-founded The Roots with drummer Questlove, is praised for his lyrics, his political twists, amazing breath control, lyrical complexity, and his live performances. Tariq and Quest met in Philadelphia High School for Creative Performing Arts and formed The Roots a few years after. They've been a staple of hip-hop ever since. Today you can catch Black Thought and the rest of The Roots crew on Jimmy Fallon as the house band. Black Thought has also become an advocate for at-risk youth and is often speaker at events highlighting his passion. It's Bigger Than Hip Hop Radio salutes Black Thought. This is Mocha Brown with your moment in hip hop history.
All right, and we're back. It's Bigger Than Hip Hop. I'm your host, Jeff Hodges. And for our second half, we definitely got something for you guys. Always got somebody in the building. And tonight, we got supermodel, brand ambassador, agency executive, and community servant, model, let me take a breath, singer, rapper, and dancer, another breath, executive director, Miss November Hill.
How y'all doing?
What's going on, Miss Lady?
You know, a lot.
A lot?
Yeah, a whole lot that I can't even remember a lot, but you know
pull
what?
Pull that closer to you.
But you know what? It's enough.
To, I know.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to meet you a while back, a couple of weeks back, at the Teen Spotlight Awards, and you're one of the honorees.
I sure did. Yeah, you know what? I was surprised, too.
You was?
Yeah, I was so surprised, because I was in Indianapolis during this whole thing, you know, so... That was a very big moment for me, too, because, you know, I've been through a lot since my brother died and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I took, like, a year break. And then, you know, next year I'm back on here. You know, I lost some friends, too. Mm-hmm. You know, because I had model friends, yes, but then it turned out to be fake.
Right.
And then I made new ones that I actually trust and, you know, understand better.
Indeed. Yeah, the tragedy that you mentioned in terms of your brother, that definitely had an effect on you, and showing that even though you've had this happen to you and taken that loss, you persevered and done some amazing things in these last couple of years. And I mean, wow, it's like to see you doing your thing as a model. You're an amazing walker. Your walk is gangster.
Thank you.
You're like 15, you've been here before, like, but you know, how does it feel to be so young to be a part of the entertainment industry?
Well, it's hard because more people take you as a joke because you're younger than them and whatnot. But, you know, I really don't pay attention to it at all because I'm doing my thing and you do yours. Don't interfere with the stuff I got going on, and then I won't interfere with your stuff I got going on. So, you know, it's very hard to get around because people be like, oh, really? I'd be like, yeah, really. You're like, you know? So... It's hard to do it at a young age, but at the same time, don't worry about what people think of you. Just, you know, just do it.
Gotta just keep pushing like Nike. Yeah. So in the last 4 years, you've walked the New York Fashion Walkway 4 times.
Yes.
What was that like?
I mean, it was awesome because, you know, my first time, I was like, well, my first time, like, everybody came with me, my mom, my dad, my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody came with me the first time. It was awesome. And then, like, my second time, I was surprised because I was like, oh, again? And then my third time, I was like, whoa. Like, the third time, I was going on tour with some models and, you know, staying at Night Hotel and everything. But the fourth time, I was like, whoa. Because, like, I'm sitting here like, how many times, you know? Like, I'm going back this year, too, because they want me to come back this year. I'm going to Paris. Because I'm going on tour, a 15-city tour that's coming up very soon, and a 7-city tour that's coming up very soon. So, you know, get tickets when it come out.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Congratulations on being voted Atlanta's Hottest Model Rising Star. Oh, and over there, you're doing your thing also as the TLA Junior Division.
Yeah.
Talk about that. What's that like? You're doing some big things over there.
Well, at first, I was like, oh, my God, I want a shirt because their shirts would be so pretty and whatnot. But then I was talking about it, too, before she even, like, decided to do it. I was already talking about it as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But then she went ahead and did it. And I was surprised about it at first. And then we start talking about it, you know, making arrangements for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just came about. We used to look for more models. If you want to go to Instagram and type in Miss November, that's Miss _ NOVEMBUR, or go to Tina B, TINAB, if you want to know more about that. So, you know, like... And then my mom, she told me that we was going to do it because at first I didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
We was going to this rehearsal for a show that I got picked for. And then Tina told me there, but like my mom already knew about it. I was like, then, you know, because I could have been prepared.
Right.
But no. So, and then, you know, we had a casting for it. And we got some people to come, of course, because, you know, it's me. So, yeah, I was very excited about that.
So having that position that allows you to give other young models to do their thing as well and be in your shows. So just talk about some of those shows and the experiences that that's been like with the young girls.
Well, my first show, I was 7.
Mm-hmm.
My first show that I produced, it was called Atlantic They Slay the Runway.
Mm.
I did it with... My, I can't say best friend anymore because we don't talk that much anymore.
Right.
But I'm gonna say
associate, maybe?
That works. My associate. Heaven High Tower, we did a show together. And I met some new people, of course, because, you know, like, I just start doing stuff like that. Like, my first show, like, I already knew models. Mm-hmm. But, like, I met more kids and around my age that I can hang out with. And it was awesome because, you know, I taught some of them how to walk, the ones that came. I was surprised that they showed up because I heard they were somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But then they surprised me. I was like, oh, thank you for coming, you know? And it turns out to be like a huge show because I didn't know that much people would come. It was like the thing was just packed. I couldn't even walk, you know? Mm-hmm. It was just too much people. Like, I couldn't even go outside because I was crowded around. At that time, my mom had security with me because I was getting crowded, and me and my associate, Heaven, was getting crowded while we was walking away. But me and the kids, you know, we hung out, of course. So, yeah, then my second show, I believe, was The Wizard of Oz. The colors were, of course, the colors in the movie. Mm-hmm. And that's when I met some more kids around my age. I forgot what age I was when I did it. But I did it, you know.
And you're doing it.
Oh, and I got a free room at the hotel for 2 days, you know. I was like, you better go.
How do you manage to balance school and your career?
You know, at first it's hard because I do homeschooling, but
okay.
I'm thinking of going to the real school this year. I'm in 7th. I'm not in 6th. I know. Surprised. Yeah, I'm going to 7th grade this year, and I'm thinking of going to real school this year because, you know, it's just, I want to be in a real school setting around other kids because I'm usually around model kids. Mm-hmm. Like, why not try to be around normal kids for once? But, you know, I'm still thinking about it. You know, so, yeah. And my sister, she's not here because, well, she's not here anyway. She models and stuff, too. Mm-hmm. And she's homeschooled, but she wants to also go to real school this year.
She's older than you?
Yeah, a year.
Okay. Okay. So what made you, you know, move into the track and want to be a model? Like, what gets you open into that?
From what I heard, my mom said I always loved taking pictures. And this picture on Facebook, when I was 4, and mm-hmm. I was posing with the freaking purple skirt on. Like, I was so Mitch Mac. I was like, I don't know what I was thinking. When I was wearing that. And I turned 6, and then I told my mom that I wanted to go to New York. Mm-hmm. And she told me no, because, you know, it snows too much up there. Then, like, around my 7th birthday, I told her that I want to go to Atlanta. She said, you know, why not? Let's go. And so we moved to Atlanta, and then I decided to model. My first class was with Tina B. And, well, Tina B, a.k.a. Tina Bridges. Mm-hmm. And from there, I just start doing it more. She taught me most of my turns, my stance and everything. Mm-hmm. But then when I got older, I changed it a little bit because, you know, like, they're doing the 1 foot in front of the other. That's so boring.
So boring.
Yeah, so you know what? Go to the side and whatnot. So, yeah, that's how that pretty much happened.
Okay. You're listening to It's Bigger Than Hip Hop with my very special guest, Miss. I have so many titles, it's running me out of breath. The name, November Hill. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
Peace and blessings. This is Mama Soul. Breakfast is over and it is dinner time now. Every Friday, live on iHeartRadio. It's Bigger Than Hip Hop. Peace.
This is none other than Marlena, a.k.a. Lois Lane. Breakfast is over. It's dinner time now on It's Bigger Than Hip Hop with your host, Jeff Hodges, on iHeartRadio every Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Take a trip into my set. How much you wanna make the bet? My people struggle for the shit they get. They said to whip up with these coppers and their scams. Me and my mans are making power moves and caravans. It's like they're coming up in the gutter. When they say they got no work, they make you hustle for your bread and butter.
and everybody's ill. I know some kids around my way that get a thrill from seeing blood spill. Now who's the one to blame, my friend, for bringing drugs into the states and locking down my men and keeping them inside the bed until they figure out when to let my people walk the street until they frame them again? Yo, listen, there's no way to escape. I got the test to show the best one. Now you're dressed what it takes. Mr. Jeeks and Elder Dan, when legal drug does care. The game is hotter than the face, so what the game I slip. But yo, what's on?
Lifestyles of the rich. Some die nameless on the same game. It's time to move a muscle. See the years 9-5, everybody gotta hustle it. Lifestyles of the rich. Some die nameless on the same game. It's time to move a muscle. See the years 9-5, everybody gotta hustle it.
The sticker Jackie owns the block. Not an ordinary thug around the way up on the drug spot. Versus a black Mercedes Benz. Be in the bars with the local drug stars and his lady friends. Now understand he's getting cheap. His life is all about rolling dice for G's, getting nice, flipping keys. That's some way to live. I guess somebody gotta do the taking if nobody wants to give. Making moves with his peeps out of town. Shorty with the work, this man got the 4 pound. He's getting bigger than his jeans. Setting up niggas for greens. Beating down crack beans. Licking shots like the jams. Coming up with those scams, faking jacks on his man. Now how long would that last? Until his time runs out and someone gets up in his ass.
Lifestyles of the rich. Some die nameless. It's all the same game. It's time to move a muscle. See the years 9-5. Everybody gotta hustle it. Lifestyles of the rich. Some die nameless. It's all the same game. It's time to move a muscle. See the years 9-5. Everybody gotta hustle it.
The chicky vet was getting cash. She had this rock up in the smash. Her lifestyle was living fast. Cocaine, champagne, always popping. Her and her friends making ends so hot. Licking shots down with undercover cops. Getting paid, helping cops spray drug spots. Shorty's on some wild history. Getting jiggy before they drip from some pretty girl smashing. Her downfall was getting nice. I heard that crime don't pay, but somebody got to pay the price. So who's the one to lose? Baby girl OD'd, overcame when she blew a fuse. You're about to hold the guns and your vests. Buddha says, may your soul rest. Some you win, some you lose. But that all goes along with the lifestyle that you choose.
And we back. It's Bigger Than Hip Hop. I'm your boy, Jeff Hodges. In the building with me, supermodel, brand ambassador, agency executive, 15-year-old, right?
No.
How old are you?
I'm 11.
11? Whoa, y'all hear that? 11 years old, Miss November Hill. You doing all of that at 11? Come on, y'all. Y'all better get up out there talking about you can't get nothing done. She's getting a lot done at 11. So what made you want... What motivates you and keeps you reaching for your goals? I mean...
Well, for one, my brother, of course, because he always wanted me to model. Mm-hmm. But two, my mom. Because, you know, she pushes me. Sometimes I don't like it, of course, but... So she pushes me and whatnot. And then I have my Tina B, a.k.a. will be my godmom soon. She pushes me, too, because she's a model teacher. Mm-hmm. And, like, we always do shows together. So, like, each time I walk, she stares at me. I'd be like, she stares like that, you know, just stares at me. I'd be like, I'm scared. She'd be like...
Make sure you know, do it right.
Yeah, I'm sort of like, okay, I got this. Jeez. So, she pushed me a lot, like way more than my mom. Like she,
they like, see your potential.
Way past the limit, mm-hmm. You know. But I gotta deal with it. My sister Danielle, she raps more than she does model, mm-hmm. But she pushes me too. She be like, oh, you can't do that. I be like, why not? She said, cause you can't. So. She pushes me to my brother. He's an indie. I better not say his name because, you know, I can't say his name. But he pushes me too. And then my brother Michael, who's also an indie. And my hit by Flaylani. They push me a lot. And you know what? Like, they also have come as own what I wear. They're like, no, don't wear that. Mm-hmm. You can't wear that. You can't wear that. I'm like, you all the way down there, like, how you know what I'm wearing? Unless I post it on Instagram, you know? Mm-hmm. So, a lot of people push me into Mario. That's over there with the hat. I see you recording me. You know, so, yeah.
That's what's up. So, who is your favorite model?
Naomi Campbell.
Okay, and why?
Well, Noah, her whole walk is fierce. You know, like, who doesn't... She's a hard person. You know, she pushes people to as well on... So, you know what? She's fierce, of course. And then Tyra Banks, she's okay. Pretty good, too. So, they all have fierce walks, and they've been doing it for a long time, so they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And they're good people to look up to, because I learned how to walk as well with Naomi. Because I looked at her videos and, you know, I started doing a little something. And so Tyra Banks, same thing, you know. So I learned from a lot of people, but like them too, like my top fan models, because they really work hard and they did a lot to, you know, be up here at the top and whatnot. So
now, and all that you do find time to give back. Why is that so important to you?
But to be honest, I always gave back since I was a little girl. Mm-hmm. I was an indie because I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana.
From that town?
What?
I used to live in that town. They had me out there picking corn. But go ahead, we'll talk about that.
So, since I was little, we always did it. My mom, her friends, we always went to downtown. I forgot what age I was, like, the first time I did it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we go downtown in like the same area, like, each weekend to go back to the homeless. Mm-hmm. Because, you know... To be honest, I don't know why I do it. It's just a habit that I like to do. Mm-hmm. To get back to people, because you know what, they lost something that they could have kept. You know, because like things get taken away out of nowhere. You can get evicted. You can get, you know, because all stuff can happen out of nowhere. But you know, we get back to you, so you don't have to be hungry, walk around with no shoes on, none of that. So that's why I do it.
Kudos to you. Great to know that there's someone such as yourself, so young, that has that compassion for people. That's excellent. What advice would you give to any young women wanting to follow in your footsteps?
Well, for one, don't listen to no one. Because people are going to hate on you, of course, because I have haters already. I'm like surprised. I'm not surprised, but you know. So people are going to hate on you, of course. They're going to say, you can't do this or you can't do that, but listen to them, because I got hated on when I started doing this at first. People thought, oh, she better than me. Yeah. I'm like, if you think that, okay, I can be. But follow your dreams. Don't let anyone tell you you can't do what you want to do. Because I knew this little girl, and she wanted to be a singer. And these people came around her and said that she couldn't do it. So she stopped thinking about it. You know, like, she was crying in her room and everything. But then her name is Stormy. So then I came in, because, you know, she was little. She was, like, way younger than me. She was, like, 5. And I was like, girl, you can do this. And now she's an actor, a model, a singer, a dancer, you know. She does a lot now, ever since I give her a pep talk.
That's what's up. Now, who's inspired you and why?
My godmom. Her name is Raina Muse. Mm. She does a lot of pictures. She's a more like a photogenic person. Mm-hmm. But she models too, because she took me on my first photo shoot when I was little. But one day I saw her modeling in her mirror, like a huge mirror. I love mirrors because it's a huge mirror. And she was walking, and then I started doing in a hallway at her house. And then ever since then, I had a passion to do it. So.
Okay. Now, who have you worked with in the past and that you would love to work with again?
No one.
No one? There's no one you've worked with that you want to do it again with? No shows you've been to and you saw that, you know? No, just
they're all fake.
They're all fake. You come across a lot of fake things in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you just got to keep your head up, though. Stay positive and focus on your goals.
Yep. You I can't name names because I'm not petty. So.
Exactly. There's no need.
I'm not petty, so I can't do that.
So do you have any up-and-coming shows that we can anticipate?
Like, yes, I have a show. Well, I don't know. It's in Indianapolis, though.
Yeah, let's talk about this Indianapolis thing. You from Naptown?
Naptown, yeah. Brightwood.
Right.
Yeah.
Indianapolis as a young man. And then, like I said, they had me picking corn. I didn't like that too well out there.
Picking corn?
Yeah, and I worked in the cornfields.
Oh,
wow. Wow, yeah, that was a lifetime ago. So after, you know, dealing with the tragedy of your brother, and that has definitely been propelling you to continue to pursue and push for your goals and reach things on your bucket list, what else do you got that you want to achieve at such a young age? What else are you reaching for?
Alrighty, let's see. I want a dance studio because I love to dance. Like, okay. I dance a lot. Like, a lot of people don't know that I dance, but I dance a lot, you know? I want a dance studio. I also want my own record deal company because my sister, she raps, of course. And when I see talent, I gotta take it. Because, you know, I do a lot of shows, and when I see people singing or rapping, they're good, come to me and no one else because I've claimed you first. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I want a record company. And my niece, her name's Queen, she's 3. It should be 4 on Monday. And she likes to dance, too. She's doing gymnastics now. And she's going to have her own dance company, too. My mom's building one for her with my godmom, Tina. Okay. And it's going to, like, love to do the step dances and the split. I was like, I didn't even know how to do a split when I was 3, you know? I was doing a little, well, kind of a cartwheel. Nothing else. So.
Okay. Let them know where they can follow you at and all that good stuff.
You can follow me on Instagram as Miss November. That's MISS_NOVEMBUR. On Facebook, November Hill. That's NOVEMBURHILL. Twitter, November Hill. You can follow me on YouTube as November Hill or K Hill. It doesn't matter because K Hill's my mom. And yeah, so go ahead and follow me on those. And I just hit 600 yesterday, so I'm glad about that. Right. On Twitter and on Instagram. Yeah.
So having so many hats that you wear at 11 years old, what is your absolute favorite thing to do?
Besides modern good stuff? I like to go for walks. We have this park, and there's a lake. So, like, it circles around, like, a trail. And I like walking down there. And, oh, shopping. the mall, shopping. Yes, get my nails done. My nails were done, like, yesterday. And then, like, I took them off because I was like, they were cute at first. Mm-hmm. And then they start falling off of me. I'm like, how? Because, like, it hasn't even been 4 weeks yet. The person who did my nails did for a bad job. I cannot name where I got it from because I ain't finna throw shade or, you know, I ain't trying to go to the court. Ain't gonna do none of that. But yeah, I'm gonna say at Walmart, but not at Walmart. Okay. So yeah, so they were cute, of course, you know. But then, like, my sister's nails came out better than mine. Like, her coffin shape was way more prettier than mine. I was so upset about that. So shopping. I love hanging out with my friends, of course. Oh, I love to work out and eat a lot of food. Yes, I tried sushi too.
You tried sushi?
I didn't like it though.
You didn't like it?
But the one I had, it was so disgusting. I was like,
You gotta have a quiet taste for that.
I don't even know why people like sushi. It's disgusting.
Talk about how does it feel to know that so many young girls are inspired by you and what you do.
You know, I'm happy about that. I have so many supporters. Mm-hmm. I was an indie, and this little girl, she supported me a lot. She told me that she was my biggest fan. She's talking to me on Musical.ly, Instagram. Like, I was being stalked by a little girl. So then I went down there. Then I got a hold of her parents, and then I went down there and I met her. I taught her how to walk. You know, we hung out a little bit. So I appreciate my supporters, you know? Like, stalk me. Like, all you gotta do is stalk me. I'm coming for you.
You heard it first. Well, November, we definitely want to thank you for stopping by and sharing with us in your world as a supermodel doing your thing.
Let me Sincere award I got.
Well, check out that award, yo. Congratulations. Look at that. Show them over there.
You see it. You know, I know. It was. I was like, oh, this is pretty. At first, it looked all black. Mm-hmm. But then I got it. I was like, wow.
Well, you do to get plenty more. What you doing? How you doing?
I am a nominee for the Rice Awards this year.
Congratulations. Thank you. So we want to thank you again for stopping by. Continued success and all the best to you.
Thank you.
All right. You listening to It's Bigger Than Hip Hop. I'm your host, Jeff Hodges. That's my very special guest, supermodel November Hill. We want to thank y'all for tuning in live and in the archive. Until next time, peace and love, family.
Peace and love, family.
You are listening to It's Bigger Than Hip Hop Radio.
And it's presented like a jewel.
Enriching, encouraging, and engaging our youth.
Here on iHeartRadio. With influential guests such as Susan Taylor.
We're a community in crisis, and we have to step up. We have to stand up. We have to speak up. We have to work together.
Jasiri X.
And then because we have Facebook and Twitter and we're able to share this information, the information is getting out there more.
Dr. Julia Hare.
Because we live in a racist society, and you can get arrested black boys for walking while black, thinking while black, driving while black, and anything you're doing while black.
Dick Gregory.
I can go and tell you why this program you have is so beautiful. That one, truth don't never have to be validated by ignorance. Exactly. But ignorance will never validate truth.
This is It's Bigger Than Hip Hop Radio. Tune in every Friday from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern on WWEAM 1100 on iHeartRadio.
We hear now.
1100Atlanta.com.
And so again, I said, you know, what you're doing is very important. And a lot of times when you do shows like this, you must have people listen. Get a tape recorder or make the tape available.
Hit us up on the hotline at 404-603-8770.